First off, how does one do social distancing at a shelter? Our clients, have they been open to the idea?
Well, when you figure that out, let me know. Okay. But I can tell you we're working as best as we can to do social distancing, but it certainly can't be 6 feet. Our staff is definitely, when engaging with our clientele and each other, are practicing social distancing, but we know we can't police every single individual inside the building and make sure that they're following all the guidelines. We often make announcements throughout the day and constantly remind individuals, but we're incredibly limited on that space. So we have to help, you know, on one night with an off-site and in our building, about 180 people. We're servicing about 145 people in the building itself. So we're doing our best to, you know, definitely quarantine anyone that's presenting with any kind of health concerns at all onto a certain floor, but you know, we're not being medical experts and only following the guidelines of, you know, what the state and government has to offer. We still have to take people in. So quarantining them on certain floors, our big concern is about getting people out of the building that aren't presenting with any kind of illnesses.
And what is that? I'm sorry to interrupt. What does that mean, getting people out of the building who are not presenting with symptoms?
So that's one of our biggest challenges and needs right now. We have some faith-based organizations that have stepped up to the plate and have said that we could use their location remotely in the evenings to allow our healthy clients a place to sleep. And so we worked diligently to get that to happen, and actually three organizations have stepped up right now. But because of our staffing issues and concern and not even having enough staff right now to manage our building, now we have no one to loan to these remote locations. So trying to encourage a group of volunteers to come out and just manage shelters, really makeshift shelters, from 8 p.m. in the evening until 6:30, 7 a.m. in the morning, with the basic of needs, just us providing mats and blankets. No food has to be distributed, just restroom facilities need to be used. We need now to find people that would actually be willing, one or two individuals, to sit in a room and sort of monitor people. And those needs are minimal. It's just sometimes they might have a question, or, you know, they're, you know, trying to practice that social distancing, making that announcement, okay, everybody spread out, that kind of stuff. We would fully protect any volunteer, of course, with the masks and the gloves, but, you know, everyone's practicing social distancing at home and not even going to work. Why are they want to go in a group of people with a room with 15 to 20 people and sit there and make sure that their needs are being met when they're trying to meet their own needs at home?
Right.
But that's really what we're in need of right now, so that we can, you know, flatten that curve and spread people out and provide, you know, housing right now for those that would otherwise be exposed to individuals in our building. Let me make it perfectly clear. We do not have any positive cases of COVID-19, but homeless shelters are incubators for illness right now. It's just a matter of time until we test someone positive, and then the next person's positive, and the next person. And imagine our staffing concerns right now when no one is even tested positive. What's going to happen when people do?
Right.
We've got to take care of people, and we are strapped for resources. We are paying our staff overtime with funding that we do not have. We are scrambling for medical supplies like the N95 masks, any kind of surgical mask, you know, Clorox wipes, disinfectants, surgical gloves. I mean, the community, you know, in their own homes are so fearful that they're, you know, scooping up all those supplies, where right now we've got an order in. We can't even get stuff until May.
Wow.
You know?
How close is the space to capacity right now?
Oh, I don't have that on the top of my head. We have four floors. One floor is our cafeteria and our entranceway, and our cafeteria is managed by food gatherers right now. So we actually have to have people lined up outside to eat so that we can practice social distancing. So we're not trying to have more than 25 to 30 people in the cafeteria at once spread around, where normally 100 would sit. So our first floor is, you know, for meals and entrance. Our second floor is being completely quarantined for anyone that's presenting any kind of illness. And it's very difficult to keep people inside the building. People want to go outside. They want to leave for a little bit. And we're having to tell people, if you leave the building, you cannot come back in. And it's such a difficult decision to have to make, but we're trying to protect everyone with the limited means that we have. Our third and fourth floors are residential floors for clients that have been provided shelter for a couple months at a time, and those are the individuals that are wanting to get out of the building to keep their health intact. And so we're going to have to be expanding, you know, those that are not well onto our third and fourth floors. So, you know, we're looking for the community to really step up, you know, hotels to offer us some space to send clients, you know, lawmakers to be really looking at this critical situation of how are we going to help those experience homelessness, you know, when illnesses are, you know, increasing at an alarming rate every single day. We're just pretty much, I guess, treading water right now. What are we going to be doing when the situation exasperates? We have to put those contingency plans in place, so lawmakers have to step up to the plate. We need people. We're willing to pay volunteers right now. We don't have the funding for it, but we'll find the funding. We'll go in the red if need be just to protect people and keep them safe. So, you know, we're stretching ourselves to the limit. We need help in the community. We need, you know, maybe retired military to manage sites that we're able to secure. We need, you know, retired people that are in good health that feel that they could help to manage this. We need, you know, people, medical staff that are either retired or not working, you know, to give us a call and consider managing our off-site locations. And eventually, I mean, we're going to need those healthcare providers to come inside the building. I mean, we are acting like a medical facility without medical facility support. Your hospitals have, you know, the equipment and the majority of the staff in place to help and manage what they have. We're acting just like they are without that support system.
Sarah, how is the weather playing into what's going on right now?
Well, we operate what's called a warming center. So from November through the end of March, we are able to help that additional 100 plus 130 people. When warming center ends, we have to turn people out into the streets. I, with a good conscience, cannot fathom doing that. I mean, people are sick. They're frightened. Their immune systems are already at risk. If you're on the streets for 1 year, that exasperates your health and age by 15 years. Over 35% of our population are senior citizens. I've got to turn a 70-year-old woman out onto the streets now that warming center ends and saying, fend for yourselves. And now there's no more public spaces they can even go into. We'll continue to allow people that don't have shelter to come into our facility and take showers and eat a meal in the cafeteria. But there might come a point where we can now no longer do that. So we're struggling just to provide that shelter for people. So that's why we're asking people for off-site locations. We need organizations that would normally help the American Red Cross, for example, to come in and help us, to say, we've got the space, we've got the volunteers, we will help you. So when the warmer weather comes, it's going to be slightly easier to tell people, you know, here's a tent or here's, you know, a park to sleep in, which is better than being out in the snow. It snowed here last night, as you see.
Right, in
but,
Ann Arbor.
You know,
yeah.
If people are becoming more and more ill, what are we going to do when people are ill out there? Let people die? No, this is a community burden. You know, the Shelter Association of Washtenaw County is willing to manage the ship, but we need help. You know, we need the rest of the community to take this, to treat this as if it's a disaster. When the American Red Cross has to treat people in a disaster, they've got a huge team of individuals that can come together and pull this off and provide temporary shelter for people that lost their homes. What about people that have no homes?
Sarah, what's going on with some of the other services that help people on the streets? What are you hearing from health clinics and maybe some other spots?
Yeah, well, definitely some health clinics are limiting their hours. They're managing, you know, case by case, so they may be taking in people with more serious illnesses right now, meaning, you know, related to the virus, but people with medical needs like heart, diabetes, some of those conditions, they're not being treated right now. We definitely have heard some facilities are doing computerized MD or having conversations with people, but even community mental health needs are going unmet. Community mental health in our community is really doing the best they can to, you know, allow workers to come on site to help those that are suffering from mental illness. But this fear has definitely increased and has had people, you know, behavioral conditions exasperate and really work against us right now and themselves.
Are you getting any kind of guidance you mentioned a little bit earlier that you'd really like for the state and local governments to step up at this time. Are you getting any guidance from the city or the county or the cities or the state about whether some help might be available?
Well, there's definitely conversations going on daily with our executive director, who's Dan Kelly, who's, you know, really thin right now, maybe sleeping 2.5 hours a night. So, you know, as they extend help, it's kind of like we have to wait to see what people are offering right now. And right now there has not been any significant change in what the community is offering to help us house people temporarily. We're hearing a lot of, you know, different regulations that are being passed on and, you know, different resources that we could call upon ourselves to get supplies and things of that nature. But it's not like one big organization has come to us and said, we've got you covered. We're going to take on this many people. We've got the supplies that you need right here. We've got the staff to help you right here. That is not something that's taking place right now and something we need more of. Everyone is just sort of treading water right now and thinking of their internal department and their own staff. Everyone's so concerned about their staffs right now, allowing, you know, temporary, you know, work from home. You know, we don't have that luxury. You know, we just don't. Our people have to be just like medical workers and be involved and engaged with our clients experiencing homelessness.
Just one last question about your volunteer corps. I imagine a lot of the folks who normally help with this work are people who are retired, who have a little time, who are a little bit older. How has you addressed this a little bit earlier, but how has that population been affected? I mean, are people just like maybe not showing up for their volunteer shifts?
Yes, well, you know, when the schools started closing and all public spaces started closing, we had to, we had to cease volunteer opportunities on site, and we sort of put that order out before people were even dropping off. But now we have to put that call to action back in place because we are staff strained. So we are posting volunteers opportunities again and asking for people with medical experience to come and help us. Many of our volunteers were not medically trained. Many would come in and, you know, help with cleaning down temporary mats and doing laundry and helping at lunchtime, you know, so that increases their risk and increases their exposure and being around more people. So we were looking to keep everyone safe and ceasing all those opportunities, but, you know, now we're desperate. We're now desperate to ask people, if you are healthy and well enough and you have some medical experience and you're well equipped, you know, please consider coming to help us because we don't have anyone else at the moment.
What would you say are the most pressing needs right now?
You know, we are asking people to show appreciation to our staff. You know, we've got individuals and organizations that are sending meals. We have, you know, people that are sending cards and expressions of gratitude. We are financially strapped right now to help individuals to pay that overtime. So we definitely need people to look to, you know, our shelter and other shelters out there and offer their financial support. With increased financial support, we can pay people. You know, these people that we're looking at are volunteers. We can now pay people to come in where normally we wouldn't have the budget to pay more people. If people will, you know, financially help support us, then that funding can go a long way. Even with this increase in supplies that we're needing, you know, the funding can help us in that way. Really, this is just a call to action to everybody in the community. You know, I'd love it if, gosh, just from people hearing this airing today, we got hotels calling us and saying, we'll take in some people for you. You know, if people that do help the Red Cross, they're going to call us and say, we'll secure a location and volunteer. So we need physical human resources and financial resources and physical spaces. Those are our top three priorities.
Sarah Paspal-Jasinski is Development Director for the Shelter Association of Washtenaw County. Sarah, thank you for the work you're doing right now and for your time.
Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to express what our needs are. I hope everyone is safe and healthy and willing to give a little bit more to their community. Thank you.